people of a different race saw that there were white people who were concerned about just as much about whether this man would live and did as much as they could to get him to Nassau. And, you know, we forget sometimes it felt like Farron Sawyer, who was here, who willingly, when I got down to Morris' house, he was there and didn't bat an eye. Got on the telephone, called Nassau, called the control tower, got the permission to take off. And, if there was anybody who put a stumbling block or tried to, and was one of the same color at the airport who runs the airport, who came with his bottle in his hand and, gave all the guys there a hard time in taking off. But, tomorrow that's my mission, to go in and try to take care of him. He was so appreciative when he called the other day. They let him call. He's going to be in about another 4 or 5 days. Because when Deneen called the nurse, he told the nurse, he said, tell her, knife go in far, far. And so, even the guy who they're trying to find, right? He's the guy who pushes drugs and does all this other stuff and tried to kill this young man. And I'm still trying to find, I'm still finding it very difficult, not to want them to just do away with him, but they want to, but, really he has a soul too. He needs to be reached with the gospel. He's hiding out somewhere right now. They can't find him, but, hopefully he'll be brought to justice. So, thank you for praying for that man. Even, you know, he's a Haitian. We pray for the missionary, Marty, who goes down to people so far away. Thank God for the work of People's Church, having their ministry down in Russell Island with the Haitians. And even the pastor of that little work down there is a Haitian. That night he volunteered to go to Nassau, and he left the church, left his work, and that's where he's been in Nassau ever since, going back and forth to the hospital doing that work. I'd like to read from verse 6 of chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, verse 6 of chapter 10. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. You have to understand he's talking about the children of Israel here, using them as an example. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us put Christ to the test, as some of them also tested him and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And the older I get, and the longer I'm a Christian, the more meaning that verse has to me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, here is one of those but gods. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The Lord is able to bless the reading of his precious and holy word. As we are burdened concerning the days of our responsibility in ministry here at the Gospel Chapel, we are trying to be aware of the times in which we are living and the days. It's the beginning of a new year. And the beginning of a new year, there are a lot of things that you think about. It's like on Saturdays, we used to have stewed fish. Some people still do that. It was every Saturday. Some folk had boiled fish every Sunday morning. There are some things that you do at the beginning of a year. If you're planning a trip, there are certain things that you prepare for, and there are certain things that you do in your planning. And so in our planning for the year, it's always wise to think of certain things that will hinder us, certain things that lie before us, as we spoke on Sunday evening concerning the things that are hidden, and yet God knows our way, and God is able to make a way. I read the Lord's Prayer, and there is a line that says, "And lead not into temptation." Do you believe that we need that line to be as the children of Israel had the frontlets between their eyes? On the doorpost of our homes, do you believe if there was ever a day? If there was ever a time, I feel I need that. I feel that temptation is all around us. The devil is seeking to hinder God's work, and he can do it easily and easier through getting through to God's people. And so I, as a child of God, must be more careful, because the unregenerate man can't hinder God's work. In a sense, he can, but in a sense, it is God's people that God is looking to do his work, right? And so the Apostle Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Because there are some people who come along and say, "But Brother Ludi, Brother Frank, Brother Don, Brother Barron, you don't know how I was tempted. You had to be there, man. It was so seductive." And yet the Apostle Paul said this over 1900 years ago, as he wrote, I guess it was over 1900 years ago, could have been just a little bit less somewhere there, that no temptation hath overtaken you. Now, even though he was writing to believers then, I believe the application is to me right here now as I live in this world. And then he said, "But God is faithful. Even though there is no temptation that has overtaken man that will be a strange thing to you, that will be uncommon to you, remember this, God is faithful." If he only said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man," and left it there, man, I'll tell you, we'd all be running to the mountains. We'd all be scared to be living in 1998. We'd all be scared to face 1999. We'd all be scared to be looking into the future. And I guess we'd all be on our knees saying, "Leave and so come, Lord Jesus, come." But it helps a little bit to know. It helps a great bit. It means everything to know, but God is faithful. No ands or buts. And then he adds, "Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with temptation, the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And I guarantee you, as I read that verse, immediately my mind goes back to those children of Israel. Ponder them for a moment. And I'm not going to preach on them this evening. I may touch on them, but think of them. Did not God make a way of escape? And when the world looked at it, there was no way of escape. And I'm sure the leaders of that country said, "There's no way of escape. You are our bondmen. You will do what we say." But the Word of God says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is against you." We must understand, beloved, that the devil is against us. And I'm even afraid sometimes to sing that little chorus the children sing when it comes to talking about the devil. Now, I'm not afraid in the sense that I know that God is in control. We know the Bible talks about bringing a railing accusation against the devil. We must realize that he's powerful. He's not all powerful, but he's powerful. To the extent the Bible says, be careful when you bring a railing accusation against the devil. If ever a man lived under pressure, it was Paul the Apostle. No doubt as you read the book of Acts, as you go through his epistles, when he was smitten down on the Damascus Road and the message that was given to him, no doubt he never dreamed in his wildest imagination that he would have to endure the kind of pressure and temptation that he endured. But if you read the epistles and look for the temptation and the pressure that faced this man, you will understand and you will appreciate what God can deliver us from if he delivered him. It may mean that he allows, and as I mentioned the other evening, sometimes we hear a lot of preaching today, especially on radio. There are a lot of guys out there who give you a one-sided doctrine. And a lot of good men who will never preach the one-sided doctrine about one side of God's will. Because there is the other side, and it's the permissive will of God. And God does permit things. He permitted the Apostle Paul to be in prison. He permitted the Apostle Paul to have stripes put in his back. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and endured. Think of what he endured. Such contradiction of sinners when we think of what God will permit in our own lives. Look at what he permitted against his own son. Think of my servant Job, as we touched on the other evening. And think of what God permitted him. But God had to allow it. God had to allow it. There is one characteristic passage where the Apostle Paul talks about being hard pressed on every side, and then he says, yet not crushed. So whatever you're going through, listen to what the Apostle says. Hard pressed. And remember that they've interpreted this as English. It was, our scriptures were not written here. And sometimes we don't get the full force of the meaning of the words from the original language. I'm not taking anything away from our King James Version, but remember, the Word of God was not written in English. This was translated and brought down, and sometimes we don't get the full import. Hard pressed. Beloved, just to say hard pressed, you've really got to think long. You've got to read a lot of passages of Scripture to understand what Paul is saying when he says hard pressed. And then when he says, on every side. In other words, when the heat was turned up by the devil, he says, wherever I looked, there was nobody to stand with me. There was no deliverance. But he said, I remember this one thing. God is faithful. It doesn't matter who is going to fail me. And he looked to his brethren. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not looking to his brethren, he was looking to his God. And he was God. But as the Son of God, he was looking to his Father. Did he not pray to his Father God? And yet, his very own, did they not forsake him? Did he look for somebody to take him down from the cross? No. The songwriter captured it this way when he said, he could have called 10,000 angels. You believe that? Beloved, he had the power, but he couldn't do it because he was God, because he was committed to the redemption of mankind, and therefore he couldn't do it. But I know what the songwriter was meaning. He had the ability to do it. God, who made the heavens and earth, who flung the stars into space and all the galaxies out there, puny man, standing against the very God of heaven, putting his fist in his face, plucking the hair from his cheeks, spitting upon him, smiting him, cursing him. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. He did not come to destroy the world. He came to save the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to destroy. He didn't come to tear down. He came to build up. And he came, beloved, to promote us, those of us who trust in Jesus Christ, to that everlasting abode when one day, whether through the vehicle of death or we are here when the Lord comes and the trumpet sounds, the promotion will take place into the presence of Almighty God. Even now, believers understand that when they pass from this scene to the vehicle of death, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's because he endured the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul says, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. And there are people who become desperate and they do all sorts of things when they are hard pressed, when they are pushed in a corner. And many of us, I don't know what I would do under certain circumstances and situations, that yet here is an example. And he says, I was perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Who struck him down? The very God of heaven, but not destroyed. Yes, God is going to take the Apostle Paul after he struck him down, and he's going to put him in his shop. He's going to put him on the wheel, and he is going to apply some pressure, and he is going to cut the rough spots and the rough edges off. In God's school of obedience, in God's school, God is going to make him into a vessel fit for his use. And the Apostle Paul says, hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Yet, this amazing man always seemed to find a way of escape. When he faced tragedy, as you go through his epistles, you'll find he came through to victory, to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. Is there anybody who is qualified to speak to this subject of temptation that we're talking about this evening? Is there any man qualified? I say, I nominate Paul. And I say, Paul, you're the one who can tell us about it this evening. Are you facing temptation this evening? Are you facing temptation to lust? Are you facing temptation to idolatry? Are you facing temptation to fornication? Are you facing temptation to unbelief? Are you facing temptation to murmuring and complaining because things are just not going the way that you had planned? All of those areas are covered here in these verses. He says, this is what the children of Israel did. I'm not going to stand there and point the finger at anybody in this audience. God help me to point the finger at anybody in this audience and say that they are being tempted with any of those things. But I guarantee you, if Luke and Neely and all of us are honest, that's one of those categories, beloved, right now, some of us are facing tremendous pressure. No, it may not be lust, it may not be idolatry, or it may not be lust and it may be idolatry. Or it may not be idolatry and it may be lust. Or it may not be lust nor idolatry, but it could be fornication. Or it might not be any of them, and it might be to unbelief or to murmuring. And God has the answer. And God knows my heart, and God knows our hearts. And God wants this evening to minister to me. I feel he ministered tremendously to me. And I feel I still need, as he ministered and opened my heart as I was preparing and as I was in my study, I felt, Lord, I need more ministry from this. I need you to minister to me more of these things. I need to be reminded, Lord, of what happened to them, not only of your faithfulness, Lord, but of their sinfulness and their rebellion. And yet, God, you were so gracious and so kind. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, I think it was, who said, a Sunday bulletin that looks like an airline timetable doesn't always indicate that God's people are serving the Lord. He said it could mean that they are living on substitutes. But all of us know that the answer is bound up in a life that is controlled by the Spirit of God. A life that is controlled by the Spirit of God. Whenever I depend upon something And it's easy for me to depend on something. Think of it. Are you depending on something this evening? As God looks down into your heart, Luton Neely, does He see you depending on something? Whatever that thing is, does He see you depending on something? I'll tell you what He wants me to depend on. An eternal somebody. Because that's who I've trusted. Not to depend on something, but to depend on the eternal someone. Have we fallen to the temptation of idolatry? You know, if we fall to the temptation of idolatry, you find that people who become idolatrous and worship other gods and bow down to the gods of wood and stone and the wall and other gods, their religion becomes easy. You pay, you attend, and you go on your happy way. Eating and drinking and dancing as they did, that's what happened to the children of Israel. Became a way of life. They began to cater to the lower passions of their nature. And that's where the idolatry came in. That's where the fornication came in. That's where the lustfulness came in. The Apostle John felt the pressure of this very temptation. How could he write if he was not feeling the temptation of this same pressure? Here's what he wrote in 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. He's saying, when I read that, he's saying, Luton Neely, little children, I put one name there. Luton Neely, keep yourself from idols. Now I need to pray every day like William Cowper in that beautiful hymn, The Dearest Idol I Have Known. Whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. That must be the prayer of my heart day by day. There is, as I said, the temptation to idolatry. There is the temptation to fornication. It reads like this, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did in one day and 23,000 fell. That's how God dealt with this. And so He's saying to me, that's a warning. If that's how God dealt with them. In fact, every single category that we have read here this evening, it shows how God punished those who transgressed. And those who sinned. And God was saying to them, you are yoked together, Israel, first with the eternal God. Remember that. When you're tempted to idolatry, when you're tempted to fornication, God is saying to them, remember that first you are yoked to God. You are God's chosen people. And He says that to us, the church. God says to the church of Jesus Christ that you must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then He says, here's what happened when the sensual took over their entire being and controlled their entire being. God punished them and 23,000 fell in one day. 23,000 fell in one day. And so there's the temptation to idolatry. There's the temptation to fornication. There's the temptation to lust. And there's the temptation to unbelief. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. Now I'm passing over tons of material because I'd just like to get through in the next couple minutes. But the fourth thing is the temptation to unbelief. You say, Brother Looney, why, how come you could come here this evening in a fundamental church like a Brethren Gospel Chapel and talk to us about unbelief. Well, I have to talk to my own heart about unbelief, because here's what the Word of God says, nor let us tempt Christ. So who is he talking about, the us? When the apostle is writing, the us is who? It's the church. He says, don't let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by what? Serpents. Remember how God sent fiery serpents, Numbers 21. The people became weary of the journey, and they began to murmur. They began to speak against God, and they spoke against Moses. And God listened, and God heard, and they continued to complain, and they continued to speak bad against God, continued to speak bad against God's servants. And God said, I've had enough. You don't believe God said that? No, I can't write that down here. But beloved, I believe God was fed up with it. God is angry at sin, the Bible says. God says, enough is enough. And God said, that's enough. And what did he do? Told the serpent, you go on. And bite him. And kill him. That's what God told the serpents to do. Fiery serpent. When they were bitten, they felt like their whole body was on fire. But you know, you say, well, God won't send serpents today. I don't know how God works, but I think God has the same principle today. We all agree that, right? God, that's the same principle. Sin does not go unpunished. Whether it's in Luton Neely, Frank Perry, it doesn't. I was going to say Gavin Hamilton today, but help me, Frank, from Canada at the People's Church. Wendell Grout, I saw him today. Remember that tremendous message he gave us before the crusade right here that night when he challenged us? How can we forget that? Tremendous, right? I saw him walking up the road today, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to bless you. Thank you, Lord, for the man. Because the man touched my heart one night, many times. But that night he did touch my heart. The Lord used him to touch my heart. And I guess there are others who can say the Lord used him as he handled the Word of God that evening to touch our hearts. Some of us said from that evening we were about ready to go into the crusade. I heard many people say that. And the Lord uses his servants that way. But it doesn't matter who commits the sin. God is displeased with the murmuring. There's the temptation to unbelief and the temptation to murmuring, but God is displeased with the temptation of unbelief. And it says they tempted God in the spirit of unbelief and so were destroyed by serpents. Verse 9, chapter 10. Destroyed by serpents. God has his ways. Beloved, it is easy to become weary in well-doing and to begin to tempt God by our unbelief. We must continue from the day that we trust in Jesus Christ until we close our eyes in death or until the trumpet sounds, beloved. We must continue to trust His ability. We must continue to trust His power, His awesomeness. God is able to do things. And when you think somehow that God is silent up in heaven, a young lady named Claudette sits in a meeting and she gives her heart to Jesus Christ and God says, you see, I can touch hard hearts. If ever I was needing to be encouraged was when I went to Green Turtle Key this year in October. Three murders had taken place there. We had been a couple of times, and that's all people were talking about. And you talk about a place, I almost said, Lord, I don't want to go there to preach. I almost called and said, hey, Brother Floyd, I don't think I can take the pressure because of all that's happening. Not three murders. Three people had died. One died with a concrete slab dropping on him. Another young man, had died very suddenly, a black young man. And then the young girl that was murdered. and write from the meeting, one that we had watched her father and mother. Her father got saved one night in the tent meeting. I believe, Frank, I don't know if you were there that night. His wife had put up her hand to be counseled, Walter. And just as Tom closed the meeting, the Lord let a squall down. I mean, a hard downpour of rain, and Walter got up from his seat, walked to the back door, and he couldn't go out. And that night, easy to remember it, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ that night. But that Sunday morning, I'm not saying I was there. If I had my choice, I would be somewhere else. But that Sunday morning, speaking to the Bible class, there was Bernadette, Alex Sawyer's daughter. I kind of thought she had made a profession in Marsh Harbor some time and was kind of a living on the edge, as a lot of Christians do, you know. Preached a message, touched a little gospel here and there, touched the gospel, came to the door, closed the meeting, came to the door. She grabs hold of my arm and says, I want to see you in there on the inside. And when I sat down, she said, I'm ready for this. I'll never forget those words. She said, I'm ready for this. She said, I put this off for too long. She told me how that when her daddy was sick in the hospital, and she said, I went and sat down by his bed and put my arm around my daddy, looked up into my face, and he said, Bernadette, I want you to meet me in heaven. You know what she said to me? Many a night I have not slept one wink with those words going over in my mind. Listen, beloved parents, your words to your children spoken in love carry a lot of weight, spoken in love. And she says when she gave her heart to Christ, she says, I'm glad I can say I'm going to meet my daddy. And we had the pleasure. I was sick. I conducted to Brother Frank, I think, dipped her in the water and baptized her, immersed her, saw her come into the fellowship, and praise God that God allows those things, and God brings those times of encouragement when we think it's so dark and so dismal and we want to give up and we want to say, like Jonah, Lord, I want to find a tree and I want to go and sit down because, God, I don't think you're able. God said to me, I'm able. And God did it. Wasn't anything I did. Anybody could have been preaching that morning, I got a feeling, and she'd have given her heart to Jesus Christ. Frank has spoken to her many times. Frank and David and others have spoken to her, that girl, many times. But God does it to tell us sometimes His way. God does it His way, His time. And God does it to tell us, look, I didn't forget about what's happening down there on earth where you are. I want to let you know that I'm still in control. Whatever you're being tempted with, I'll make a way. I'm faithful. It doesn't matter what you're going through. And then there's the temptation to murmur. No murmur. He says, no murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. I believe Paul had in mind Numbers 14 and verse 2. Remember when the spies went in to spy out the land? And when the spies came back, they said, we can't do it. God had told them they could do it. And these men came back and told the congregation they couldn't do it. Look here. That is against what God says. That's against God's word. That's against God's character. God had said, you can. They came back and said, you can't. And isn't that what unbelief does? When I don't believe God, God is saying that He's all-powerful. He's almighty. God has showed me examples where He's delivered His people. God has showed me where He has encouraged His people, where He has strengthened His people, where He has opened prison doors and let them out. And I say, we can. And I say, God, you can. God, that person's too hard. That person's too difficult. God, I can't witness to that person because God, and God says, I can. And because of their murmuring, because you see, when those 10 spies came back and started saying these things among the people, it caused the people to be disheartened. And the people began to murmur against God in the wilderness. It's a solemn lesson. Temptation is common to us, beloved, but it was common to Christ. I want to finish this message next week, Lord willing, if the Lord keeps us all here and alive, and I'm privileged to minister the word next Tuesday evening. I want to finish the rest of the message. Thank you very much, shall we pray. Father, we thank you this evening for thyself, for thy power, for who thou art. We thank you for thy promise that thou art faithful. Help us to go from here this evening, Father, being reminded that no temptation has overtaken mankind, but what others have been tempted, and you have proven yourself in delivering them. We thank you for these examples of those who did not obey your word. Lord, help us not to follow in their same footsteps, but help us to follow thee wholly with all our heart and soul and mind. Remember those who are sick. Remember Adrian again. Thank you for the good news that we heard this evening. We pray, Father, that thou will continue to give him special help for Jean, for Noel in the hospital, for Benny, and for all of these, Father, for Candy this evening. Father, we pray that somehow the numbness in the foot and all the other pain that she's having, the doctor will diagnose this, and if it's a disc or whatever it is, Lord, we pray that somehow the relief will be found for this young lady, this fine Christian young mother. Lord, we ask your blessing and your hand to be upon her wherever she is this evening. We give thanks in Jesus' name.